From NPR News in Washington, I'm Shea Stevens. Residents of South Carolina's flood-ravaged communities are keeping an eye on overflowing waterways amid warnings of new evacuations if more dams are weakened. As many as 40,000 homes in hard-hit areas lack fresh water. That number could increase if crews cannot quickly repair damage to a reservoir in Columbia. In Georgetown, Kat Kramer says swollen tides have hampered efforts to clean up damage to her furniture store.
We had a lot of water damage from the roof leaking and from in our other outdoor store from the water coming up from the ground, because basically we're sitting right at sea level here.
The flooding has killed at least 17 people in the Carolinas and displaced thousands more. Utility officials say the power grid is just returning to normal, but that repairs to closed bridges and roads will take longer, including a stretch of Interstate 95. The top U.S. commander in Afghanistan is calling a U.S. airstrike on a Doctors Without Borders hospital in Kunduz last weekend a mistake. As NPR's David Wellner reports, General John Campbell is not saying how it happened.
General Campbell told the Senate Armed Services Committee that U.S. Special Forces were in the vicinity of the Kunduz hospital, where 22 people were killed by the airstrike. Campbell says while Afghan forces had requested U.S. air support, those Americans on the ground were in communication with the aircraft crews whose weapons hit the hospital.
The decision to provide aerial fires was a U.S. decision made within the U.S. chain of command. A hospital was mistakenly struck. We would never intentionally target a protected medical facility.
Campbell also said President Obama's plan to reduce U.S. troops in Afghanistan to 1,000 by the end of next year should be reconsidered. David Wellner, NPR News, Washington.
A Senate panel is investigating Volkswagen's use of a tax credit that was intended for fuel-efficient cars. It is the latest fallout in the VW emissions rigging scandal. A California man who says he was an enforcer for a Mexican drug cartel has pleaded guilty to 9 counts of murder. As NPR's Richard Gonzalez reports, the man has told authorities about his involvement in more than 20 killings.
By his own account, 53-year-old Jose Manuel Martinez was a murder machine. He was arrested shortly after re-entering the country from Mexico 2 years ago. Authorities say he acknowledged his involvement in killings all over the United States. Last year, he pleaded guilty to a murder charge in Alabama and was given a 50-year prison sentence. He also faces 2 murder charges in Florida. Police say he has divulged information about crimes that no one else would know, but he hasn't named names of cartel associates. Under his plea deal, Martinez will be sentenced next month to life in prison without the possibility of parole. Richard Gonzalez, NPR News.
You're listening to NPR News. The National Transportation Safety Board is investigating the sinking of a U.S. cargo ship off the Bahamas during Hurricane Joaquin. The vessel was carrying 33 people, including 28 Americans. Coast Guard officials believe a body found in the area by searchers belonged to one of the crew members. California Governor Jerry Brown has signed legislation to provide new tools for challenging gender-based disparities in wages. The measure allows women to allege pay discrimination based on the wages a company pays to other employees doing substantially similar work. It puts the burden on employers to prove that a higher-paid male worker is not getting more money because of gender. The law takes effect January 1st. The late Julian Bond is being remembered for his lasting commitment to human rights. NPR's Debbie Elliott reports on a Washington memorial service for the former NAACP chairman who died in August.
Friends, family, and civil rights activists came to honor Julian Bond's lifelong commitment to equality. Historian Taylor Branch, a friend, says it's remarkable that Bond never grew cynical about the American political system.
The consistent optimism that he had for over 50 years, that by dealing honestly with race and confronting our fears and our anxieties about race, we have opened more gates for freedom and prosperity than we want to take credit for.
Bond was a founding member of the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, a Georgia lawmaker, and the first president of the Southern Poverty Law Center. Debbie Elliott, NPR News, Washington.
And I'm Shea Stevens, NPR News.
From the latest newscast to the newest podcast, NPR One handpicks local, national, and international stories based on what you like. Download the NPR One app, a new way to experience public radio.